Pray with me, okay? Lord, I just want to come before you and just say thank you. I'm not going to do it. And I just say thank you, Father, for just who you are and what you've done in our lives. And I ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that as we have worshiped you, hopefully, in faith, as we have given praise to your name, as we have come to understand what we really do sing in this place, that it is your breath in us. It is the Holy Spirit of the living God who illumines us, who teaches us about all things, who shows us the way, that teaches us to abide in Jesus. And I pray that as we open the word, that Lord, that the Spirit of God would do that, would open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to understand the greatness of your name, the glory of your name, and the glory, Father, of your word. I want to thank you, Lord, for the word of God today. I want to pray that it would wash us, it would sanctify us. That, Father, those who are really discouraged today, those who are really struggling today, that today would be a day, Lord, by which they find life in a new, fresh way. Those that are maybe struggling in some sin pattern, Lord, I want to pray that today would be the day of freedom for them. Maybe there's someone in this place, Lord, that just needs to keep on rejoicing. I want to pray that we would have things that we would come to the end of this hour that we have to absolutely rejoice in the name of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, you are Lord today. Nothing takes that away. Not the trial, not the struggle, not the things, not the hurt, not the loss, Lord. You are Lord. And we confess that today. Knowing that, Father, of our lives are in your hands. And it's a great place to be, Lord, in your hands. Come, Lord, visit us as we open the word today. Come, may we be a people just so ready to see life in order under your mighty hand. So come visit us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. If you're new to us, and if you're not, over the last several weeks, we've been talking about the message of reconciliation, that God has given us a ministry and a word of reconciliation. And reconciliation, by the very definition of its word, means to set at one again. That which is now fractured, God comes along to make one. And we talked about this in a various amounts of ways, but one of the things that we've been saying is, and that we believe, that what God loves, the enemy hates. And what the enemy hates, he comes to destroy. And one of the greatest virtues of the kingdom of God is the oneness of our God and Savior, that we are one with him, and in our marriages, we are one with one another, and then in our families, we are one with one another, and in our church, we're one with one another. And the question that I'm asking is that if there's fracture in your life, if there's fracture in your relationships, what are we doing as believers who believe that the greatest virtue of the kingdom is oneness? So what are we doing to make peace with all people? All the people in our lives that have somehow been fractured, what are we doing to promote peace, to promote oneness, to promote unity, to promote it? And we've been talking about various different things. And what I want to do over the next couple of weeks is I want to address the fracture of your relationship with God, the fracture that many marriages have, and then the third week, the fractures of church, and how we see this great God coming to reconcile us to himself and to one another. And so what I want to do is begin this passage talking about the house. Your house as your life, the house of your life, the house of your marriage and family, and the house of the church. And we have lots of places to look at. Matter of fact, this morning at the dedication, we quoted, or I quoted, Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, they who labor, labor in vain. Talking about the house of the family. I'm in that very passage of Scripture. And Scripture is absolutely, totally, I mean, it is just full of examples of the house and who we are as the house of the living God. There's a really interesting passage of scripture. It's found in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. It says, in those days, Hezekiah, that's the king, became mortally ill. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. What a warning. What an absolute total warning for this man. There's some things about it that's really interesting when you come to read the whole story. The whole story is that he appeals to God, that God, would you please add to my life? And God comes, the prophet comes back in and says, hey, God's heard your prayer. You got 15 more years. It's a pretty cool story. But I want to just ask the question because we don't know if we have 15 years, 15 minutes, 15 days, another 10 years or 15 years. The question we ask is, when I think of fracture, in which that which the enemy is pleased with and God is grieved with, will we be a people that are setting our lives in order under the authority and lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is that where you are today? Is your life in order? Is your life, your heart, your soul, your mind in order? Is it under the authority of God and His Word or something else? Is it got peace in it or is there chaos? Is there life or death? Is there a grave or is there an open tomb where you have marched out, where you are placing your life, your heart, your mind, your marriage, the church of the living God in order? The house of the living God. Bible says, this is what Jesus says about the house. This is in the last piece of the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. Notice verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man, watch, who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against the house. And yet it didn't fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Yet everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And watch this, and it fell, and great was its fall. What is he saying? Saying that you must build your house, the house of your life, the house of your marriage, the house of the church of the living God, the house of your family on Jesus, the foundation whereby which the trial and the struggle, that the temptations of life come your way and slam and slam and slam and slam against you. But you keep standing in Jesus because your life was founded on the rock, built upon the rock. And the rock is Jesus. I mean, that's just the bottom line. It's not culture, it's not law, it's not anything else in this life. It's not on just good feeling, it's not even on just good faith, because good faith may not be good faith at all. Depends what you're believing. No, it must be found on Jesus. Jesus is absolutely the foundation of our lives. If you will, just keep your place here for a moment and go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. It's a good to turn to it. If you just want to look at the screen, it'll be up on the screen, I think. Matthew chapter 16. It's interesting because in verse 13, Jesus comes into the district of Caesarea Philippi. He's asking his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon, son of John, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you, you're Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell will not overpower it.
I'll even give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. And he warned his disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. This is a very interesting dialogue, because let me just say what this says, these words that are used in the original language. So when he says to Peter, "You are Peter." Peter, remember when he changed his name from Simon to Peter, it was from Simon to a stone. And so he says, "You are Peter. You are a stone. And upon my church, or upon this rock," not Peter the stone. And it's a different word, and the word is the bedrock. And it's as if Jesus is saying, if we just had a video of it, was, "You are a stone, Bill, I am the cornerstone. I am the bedrock. Upon the bedrock, Jesus, on the solid foundation of the Lord, I'm going to build my church." What are you building on today? Are you building on sand? So, well, I don't know. Well, let me tell you how you know. You know you're building on the rock, Jesus, or the sand, by how you respond to the Word of God. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture in Matthew that those who hear the Word and do the Word will build their house upon the rock, Jesus. And I ask the question, when you look at your life as a man, as a woman, as a husband, as a wife, as you look at your life as a son or a daughter, if you're not married yet, if you look at your life as a parent, a mom, a dad, as you look at your life as an employer, an employee, as you look at your life in retirement, the question is very, very, very clear. Are you hearing God's word and becoming effectual doers of the word of God? It's the key to everything. It's God says, listen, this word is not just to be read, it's to be lived by. Jesus said in the temptation, turning the stones into bread, he says to the enemy, "Man will not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Now, I don't know about you, but I notice a whole lot of things about culture and a whole lot about things from what Christians post on Facebook. And that's really why I'm on Facebook. A couple of reasons. I want to know what you say. And I want to know when you're sick, because I'm the last one to know when you're sick. So two reasons why your pastor does Facebook. But it's been my experience over the past several years of the things that we say, it sounds like we're living according to what the world says, culture says, or what some kind of political thing out there says. And where we're not looking at the Word and living on the Word of God on a daily, daily basis. We live not on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And we do that by hearing it and responding to it. We believe it. It's God's word. We believe it's a word for me. It's a word for us. And it's a word to live on right now, right here, the rest of my life. The reason why so many of us have fractured lives with the Lord is because we've heard the word and we've not done it. And we look past our life with all the decisions we make, and sure enough, we built our life on the sand because we've not heard and we've not done what God's asked us to do. And what's great is, whatever God asks you to do, according to the Word, it's not burdensome. Why do you want to make it a burden? If we are people that live by faith, and if we live by faith, we live by His Word. We live by who He is and what He says, and what He says, this is the way. Walk in it. You'll find life, not death. You'll find victory, not defeat. Walk this way and you will find the joy of the Lord. Not saying that you're not going to have a hard time. Not saying that the trials go away. No, but we march through the trial. We lean into it because we're doing the word of God. And I want to ask you, are you building your house on the rock today? Or is it on the sand? You're building your marriage, your family on the rock, Jesus. You know, it's interesting because as the Coopers were up here, I was thinking about today, and I hear so often myself say it. I am just so scared what our kids are going to be left with if things don't change. And I had this thought this week. I ought to be more concerned about preparing my children to face what they have to face or must face in this life. That means scared of how they're going to live or what they're going to live with. How are we preparing them for end days? How are we preparing them to walk by faith? How are we building up the kingdom of God in our own homes, in our communities, in our churches? This is what God desires. A people that live his way, not the world's way. To live the Jesus way, as a friend of mine says. And not fritcher way or flesh way, but God's way. And this is what he's saying. He's saying, listen, you hear the word and you do the word. And then what happens is you build your house on the rock. And then whatever comes, you're still standing when the flood's over. Craig, we see this in China all the time, don't we? With Hani believers who are under such oppression in these days. Who are being watched, who are being listened to, who are being beaten, who are being electricity being taken away from them because they proclaim the name of Jesus. And what are they doing? They're raising their sons and their daughters to move through those days with peace and life and integrity and continuing to share faith that no matter what is happening and taking place around me, this world is not my home. Amen? Not my home. I'm just a passing through. It doesn't mean that we don't take responsibility on the stewardship of things that God's given us in our homes and in our marriages and in our communities and in our country. Not saying that. I'm just asking, is your life built on the rock? And it's built on the rock when I hear the word, and I'll add this because you'll see it throughout Scripture, and by faith, believe the word, and by the power of God, do the word. What is it that God has asked you to do in these days that you've not done? Or the things that he has said to stop that you've not stopped? The house in order is a house built on the rock. The rock, the foundation is Jesus. The house in order is to be built on by hearing the word and obeying the word. It assures a strong and fulfilling relationship with Jesus. It's a confident, I'm confident of a future even in hard times and difficulties. I was reading Proverbs 31 and I was looking at the virtuous woman. You know the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. You know there's a little phrase that I just caught on here the past few weeks and months. It says she looks to her future and she smiles at her future. Why? Because she does life God's way. She does life God's way. And she smiles at the future. Church, are you smiling at your future? It's a wonderful thought. It's a wonderful position to walk in, smiling at the future because of what? Because of what the word says and what the promises God says that he comes to do in our lives. Listen, let me ask you, are you the house of God individually? You know, Scripture says, well, Jesus says the house that's built on the foundation of Jesus. What the word says, it's your life dwelt by the Spirit of God. Notice a couple of things about that. So you're building your life on the rock. You're hearing the word and you're doing the word. But it's also defined as a life dwelt and lived by the Holy Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 3:16 on the screen. Do you not know that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, that you are not your own? The house of God. You know that you are His house because you have the Spirit of the living God living in you. The third person of the Trinity. And I want to tell you, if that's just gotten familiar to you, and you, the sacredness has just been lost on you about who God is and how God lives in you, listen, I encourage you to get back to that wonder and that awe. You are the temple, and you are the house of the living God. Amen. This is who we are. This is what we possess and what we have. And this is our future. It's our future. And so if I'm dwelt by the Holy Spirit, or if my life is being built on the rock by doing the Word, then certainly being filled with the Spirit of God means that I'm walking by the Spirit. And I want to ask you this whole thought, is your life in order? And your life in order means that He is your Lord, and that you are walking according to the Word, and that the Spirit of God is living in you, dwelling in you, and prompting you the way to apply the Word of God in your life. And are you living? Is that your standard? Is that your standard? Because if it's my standard, the promises of God are many. They're powerful. They're alive. I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And I'm going to do something right now that I've never done in church on the pulpit. I'm going to tie my shoe because I've almost tripped twice, okay? So you go to Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to tie my shoe, okay? Galatians chapter 5. Okay. No, I'm not. Okay, Galatians chapter 5, sorry. That went well. All right. Look at verse 1, okay? It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and don't be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Powerful piece. He goes on and he says, you were called, verse 13, you were called to freedom, brethren. Now, don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word in this statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by another. Isn't that interesting? People who fight and devour are consumed by one another. I see it all the time. It's why God hates the fracture, loves the oneness. It's why the enemy loves the fracture and hates the oneness. And then he says this, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. I want to read this to you, just kind of in a little bit of an original intent. I say to you, walk by the Spirit and keep walking by the Spirit, and you will never, ever carry out the desire of the flesh. Promise of God. A promise of God. Be led by the Spirit, and you will never, ever carry out the desire of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit of God. Not once in a while, not sometimes, not 50% of the time, not 80% of the time, not 99% of the time. 100% of the time. Because I'm going to tell you, I believe according to Scripture, if you're walking by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Amen. So if the Spirit of God lives within me, and I'm to live by the Spirit, what does that look like? So he says, the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now watch, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality. Those are sexual sins outside the bonds of a marriage between one man and one woman. That's what that is. Anything else, any kind of other kind of relationship outside the marriage bond is immorality, impurity, or sensuality. I don't care what culture says. I don't care what your friend says. I don't care what anybody says about this. You shouldn't either. This is what the Word says. We don't have another standard. The standard is not our heart. Our heart can be deceitfully wicked above all else. This is sensual sexual sin. We'll look at it a little bit more just in passing as we do something a little different later on in this message, in the next, hopefully next 5 minutes. So the deeds of the flesh, that if you're walking by the Spirit, if you're walking by the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill immorality. You're not going to fulfill impurity, sensuality. Here's another one, idolatry. What is idolatry? Idolatry is loving something more than you love God. It's loving something and trusting that something else other than God is going to fulfill what only God can fulfill. That's an idol. Idols are not just over there in the Middle East or China or all those other places in the world, India. That's not what this is about. The idols are the idols of your heart. What you love more than God and what you think is going to fulfill what only God can fulfill. And idolatry can cover everything we're talking about today. If you think your money is going to fulfill what only God fulfills, you have an idol before you. If you think that your career is going to fulfill what only God can fulfill, you've got an idol. If I think that ministry and pastoring is the thing that's going to fulfill me, that only God can fulfill, I, your pastor, has an idol in his heart. So I don't preach to you. I preach to me as a man fallen, a saint of God, yes, but one who has the propensity to walk in sin and sinfulness. Every one of us. That's why he says, walk by the Spirit. Not your carton here, not the flesh, but to walk by what the Spirit of God says. It's so important, folks. It's so important, Church of the Living God, that he would say to you, walk by the Spirit and you won't fulfill idolatry. And he goes on, sorcery, that's witchcraft, enmity, strife. Jealousy, enmities is separation. It's what we've been talking about. It's the fracture of family. It's the fracture of marriage. It's the fracture with God. Enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Now watch this. Of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Place your house in order, because we're all going to die unless, thankfully, Jesus comes before we have to face that. Place your house in order. A house in order is a house, is a person who is living the Word out, who has the Holy Spirit living in him, and that he is walking according to he is walking according to the Spirit. She's walking according to the Spirit. And this is what happens when you do that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy and peace. It's patience. It's kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have and are crucifying the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we're living by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit, not becoming boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. The house built on the rock is a man and a woman, a son and a daughter, that truly believes the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has come into his life, her life, their lives, and they are bent not to hell, but to heaven. Not to the enemy, but the lordship of Jesus. And we go back to that first passage, that first verse. It was for freedom that he set you free. It's for freedom that he did this so that you don't have to walk in bondage anymore to the sexual sin, to the greed, to the bitterness and the anger. It's why he died on the cross. He came to make whole what was fractured, and that's your heart, and that's your life, and that's your mind and your soul. It is the life of your marriage, it's the life of your family, it's the life of the church of the living God. It's why he died. Amen. It's why he shed his blood. It's why he carried these very sins that we're talking about. Now, let me just tell you something. This message is not about making any one of you feel guilty, but I want to tell you this. It's really, really important. Don't run from the conviction of the Spirit of God. When I step up to the pulpit to be your pastor in the pulpit, I might do it a little different than I do in the study or in your home or a restaurant. Praise God. But when we're looking at the Word of God, we got to look at it as the Word of God. Amen? Not anything else. It's what God says. And so it, just in a moment, it's like we ask the question, how does the fracture with the Lord, how is that healed? When I sin and I walk in a season of sin and rebellion and God seems so far away, and some say, well, did God move? No, God didn't move. You moved. You moved. How do I run back to God? If I look at these patterns of sin in my life and I ask God, what do I do? What do I do to see this fixed? The first thing I want to say to you is that as a house led by the Spirit of God, it's this walk that leads you to the peace with God. And I'm just going to tell you, the very first thing that I think needs to happen is you need to take, I need to take an honest appraisal of my life. A spiritual, emotional appraisal of our lives. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. Don't you recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? You know, I grew up as an 8-year-old receiving the Lord Jesus Christ into my life, with the assurance of salvation. But I was never taught to test my faith. And I think that's not a bad thing. This is not about, oh, am I going to lose it or not? If you're new to us, I believe in the security of the believer, okay? I do. I just don't believe in the security of the unbeliever. Security of the believer. And when God starts something, he finishes it, that he completes it to the end, the perseverance of the saints. But Paul says, listen, test yourselves. Recognize this about yourself. What's coming out of my life? Is it the deeds of the flesh, or is it the fruit of the Spirit? And hear me, because it is a journey. Christ's likeness is a journey. But it's a journey from glory to glory, better to better, greater to greater. Not worse and worse. And I put my eyes on Jesus. I put it on him, and I look at what the Word says, and I line myself up to it, and I see if there's anything lacking in me. Psalm 119:59, he says, I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimonies. Psalm 139:23, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be anything wicked in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. And so what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to do a piece that we've done before that I haven't done in a long, long time. I want to give you the opportunity to take an honest appraisal of where you are at right now, right here. And so I don't have these in your notes. If you want them, you can text me on my number's on the fold. You can text me. You can take pictures of it, and I will send it to you. I'll send you the whole manuscript today. It's that important. And so I want to ask you a question. This is an honest appraisal. Let's look at the area of idolatry. Do you love anything or anyone more than you love God right now? your spouse, your child, your stuff, your money, your house, your career, anything. Now, you say, well, what are you talking about? So, the Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, when I love God with all my heart and I love my neighbor, it's not like God's right here and then everything else is way down here. No, it is just raised or close, all of it. Even loving your enemies, way up there. And so when we ask the question, is there any idolatry? Is anything that I'm thinking that I'm depending that's going to fulfill what only God can fulfill? And you might be here to say, man, my money does that to me. Or my stuff, or my things, or my relationship, or just name it. What about in the area of immorality? Do you participate in any of that? Lustful thoughts, adultery, coarse jesting, fornication, that's sex before marriage, inappropriate literature, pornography, pride. Are there any things that's true of your life? Critical spirit, grumbling, fault finding, anger, unforgiveness, critical spirit, bitterness, jealousy, pride. What about in the area of greed? Do you covet those things you don't have? Have you stolen? Have you cheated? Are you a lover of money and things? Are you entangled with the affairs of this life? Do you have material lust? What about disobedience? Is there anything that God has told you to do that you've not done? Is there anything that God has told you to give up that you've not given up? Do you honor your father and your mother? And your mom and dad may be dead. But I had a thought today. My dad will be gone in the next 3 years in the next couple of weeks. And I thought of this today because I heard somebody talk about it. As I was walking out of my office, it's like, I want to live today honoring my father and my mother. Even though my dad's gone and my mom's suffering with dementia, I want to honor them today by the things I do, by the things I say, by the things I live, to honor mom, to honor dad. I know for some of you that might be really hard. But certainly honoring the Father, Father God. What about in selfishness? Do you give cheerfully of your tithes and offerings? Are you stingy? Are you stingy with God? Are you devastated or angry when things don't go your way? Do you love your neighbors, yourself? Are your statements mostly about yourself? Do you get your feelings hurt easily? Are you self-centered? Do you just have to have your own way? You have to have everybody agree with you. What about dishonesty? Do you tell lies? Do you stretch the truth? Do you gossip? What about the area of self-discipline? This is a big one. I want to skip over this one, but I can't. Are you disciplined in the area of your appetite? Do you indulge in your eating? Do you take care of your body? Are you filled with the Spirit? Or does some other substance influence you, like tobacco or nicotine or caffeine or drugs or alcohol? Are you praying as you should? Have you neglected the word? Are you orderly? Have you neglected service to the body of Christ? Do you take care of the things that God has given you? What about the area of fruit of the Spirit that we just read? Do you show love? Do you possess joy? Or do you grumble and complain with an embittered spirit? Do you have peace? Or is there dissension, factions, fighting, arguing, and irreconcilable differences? Are you patient with your family, with your spouse, with your children, with your employer, employees, with your church leaders? Are you kind in word and deed? Do you practice the goodness of God, or are you mean, grumpy, and critical? Are you faithful? Can you be depended on? Are you a person of your word? Do you finish a job you've started? Do you work in your field as under the Lord? Are you a self-starter, supportive? Are you gentle? Are you harsh? Do you practice self-control with your tongue, with your appetites, with your actions? Are you walking by the Spirit? I want you to hear me. I'm not saying these things to press you down, to make you feel guilty. What I'm hoping is that something touches your heart that says, oh God, I'm convicted right now, and I don't want to walk in that. Where God exposes something in a message like this because you want to place your house in order. That's what you want to do. That's what I want to do. That's what we want to do. This is not some legalistic game. It's just an expose of my life that exposes what's there and what's not and what I want it to be and what God wants it to be. That's what this is about. This is not about beating you up or beating me up for that matter. This is just a friendly, I hope it's a friendly reminder of what it means to have a house in order. Not perfected yet, not perfection yet, because it's not about direction. Oh, sorry. It's not about perfection. It's about direction. And where am I on that road? And there's just something specifically. Because you see, when I take a self-examine of myself, I'm not asking you to do anything that I've not done. And that I don't do on a regular basis. Got this. It's part of a devotion sometimes. Because I know that everything in that on that list, Jesus died to take away from you. Amen. He died to forgive you of it. He died to transform you from that to Christ-likeness. He came to deliver you from the flesh so that you may walk by the Spirit of God. That's what it is. But sometimes we need to be reminded. And it's a friendly reminder. It wouldn't be a friendly reminder unless I just named you right now. It would be awful. No, this is about, oh God, what are the things in my life that I need to give to you and trust that you're going to take away? Because my Lord appeared to take away these sins, and in him there's no sin. My Lord came to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Sometimes we have to work this. Sometimes we do. So I ask the question today, is my life in order? And if I look at these things and there's some things in my life, what am I going to do about it? I'm going to go with the conviction. I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to be offended. You know, when I get offended by something that something is pointed out to me, it means that it's really there. It's really there. So I don't want to walk an offense. If you see something in me, I want to be petrified that you see that in me. So I'm asking God in the name of Jesus that you'll bring conviction of the Spirit, not a word of a man on a pulpit platform, but the Spirit of God who comes to do these things, and that God, that we would have this godly sorrow. And that's what this number two is about. When convicted by the Spirit, possess a godly sorrow. Because the sorrow that is according to God will produce a repentance without regret, leading to salvation, but the sorrow of the world produces death. And then I want to confess my part, make it right, and then I want to be restored to my Lord so that my house is in order with God. 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he is faithful to forgive you of our sins. Now watch this, not only forgive you, but cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? A life in order under the Lordship of Jesus that heals the fracture that we sometimes have with God. And I pray in the name of Jesus that the Spirit of God would come and take those things and convict us, because we have an opportunity today to be convicted and to move with what God wants to move with. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, if there's a conviction on some of my brothers and sisters here today, I'm asking God that as they have a godly sorrow over it, that they'll confess it to you and allow you to wash them right now with the Spirit of the living God. Because, Lord, you don't want this, you don't want us to move another day, another week, another month, another year walking this way. Lord, if there's someone in here that is struggling with pornography, I ask in Jesus' name, the day would be the day of confession. I pray if there's somebody still walking in anger and bitterness after the things we've been talking about on Sundays, I pray that today would be the day to walk in forgiveness. I pray if there's someone in here today that's grumbling and complaining and just walking in the complaint, I pray, God, that today would be the day that they look up to see all the things that we have to be thankful for. I pray, Father, for conviction, but I also pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would fulfill your word in our lives today so that our house would be placed in order for the rest of our lives. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have one more thing. Just thought of it. The Bible says this. It says that the word is sharper than any two-edged sword, right? It's inspired by God, God-breathed, to do a couple of things. First, to teach you. That's what the word of God does. Second, to rebuke you. Okay? To rebuke you. And we don't like that part. And it's almost like when you look at the word rebuke, look it up. It's a point the finger and said, this is where you're lacking. And if I have a godly sorrow, I ought to be broken. But then the next word is correction. It corrects you. And I love the word because it's more than just correct. It's literally Jesus picking you up, holding you, and putting you back on the right track, on the right road that leads to righteousness and godliness. And then he trains you in righteousness so that you can be a man and woman equipped for the service of God. Isn't that great? So the word does. And that's what I will leave you with, this great hope that God sets us free, forgives us, trains us in righteousness so that we can become the men and women that God's called us to be in this life. Men and women who are new in Christ and have this ministry and word of reconciliation. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together.